Hi, everybody. It's me, Angela Herrera, the senior minister at First Unitarian Church. We had some technical difficulties with our worship service this morning, which resulted in it not being recorded. So I'm taking a moment here tonight, it's Sunday evening, in my dining room to record the sermon again for you in case you missed it. We started before the sermon in today's service with a reading by Lynn Unger called Pandemic. This poem has been shared widely across the internet, within and beyond UU circles. Lynn is a Unitarian Universalist minister, and she has written something truly beautiful. It's called Pandemic, and it goes like this. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we shall live. There ends the reading. I thought about Lynn's poem, and particularly the words, what if you thought of it as the most sacred of times, as I was preparing a message for today. This week, I created an altar for my home. It's been a while since I made a home altar in an intentional way. There are a couple of places in my life where special objects have a tendency to come together, like the windowsill above my kitchen sink, for example. But it's really been quite a while since I created a designated spot to bring spiritual objects and spiritual guides together and to make it a part of my daily practice. This week, I created an altar on a small table and I placed it at the threshold of my home. It's at the edge of the living room from where I lead worship now, right near the front door, so that I pass by it every time I come or go. On another day soon, I'm going to show you what the whole altar looks like, and I'll invite you to think about making an altar of your own for your home. But today I want to show you just one part. It's this, a teacup. For those who might be hearing this sermon without video, the teacup is a porcelain, old-fashioned teacup with a saucer, and it's cream-colored and has a pinkish-red rose pattern on it called rose chintz with some little spots of blue and some little spots of green. It belonged to my great-grandmother, Hazel. She was my mother's mother's mother, which makes her one of my matrilineal ancestors. She was born in the first decade of the 1900s, and I'm thinking of her now because, like many of you, I have never experienced a time like this before, a time when a pandemic disrupted our lives and our world so much. Last Wednesday, after the 7 o'clock Vespers service, I joined one of the small group chats that we created here on Zoom. We're creating those chats now after this Wednesday evening Vespers service at 7 and also after the Sunday morning worship services. On Wednesday, I asked the small chat group whether any of them had ever experienced something like this before, and nobody had, but the group, which was aged about 30 and up, agreed that what it reminded us of most was the weeks right after 9/11. I hadn't thought of this yet, but when they suggested it, I knew exactly what they meant. It's that feeling that we're all experiencing something together, and it's an experience of like an unwelcome suspense, a feeling of waiting for calamity. What will happen next? How bad will it be? Have we taken enough of the right measures? In this way, this moment is kind of a threshold experience. We're between one thing, those social distancing measures, and the next, that curve that we're trying to flatten. And in this moment, as all of this is happening, I'm thinking of my great-grandmother, because at times like this, just as at other threshold times, the ancestors are speaking to us. There was an accident in 1908 while burning a tobacco field in Kentucky that caused my great-grandmother to grow up without a mother from the time she was a little baby. Extended family took her in. She lived through the flu pandemic of 1918, to which this pandemic is being compared. She also experienced World War I and the Great Depression. She never learned to drive a car, but during World War II, she and her husband and children left farming in Appalachia and they moved to Washington State to build warplanes at Boeing. Somewhere in our family, there's a photo of my great-grandmother with her hair tied back in a kerchief, and she looks every bit the Appalachian farm woman she was, except she's welding an airplane. Along the way, like many women of her era, she saved up stamps from the grocery store that she could then trade in for a set of fine china, which I would inherit. I received it complete with chips in the rose pattern porcelain that other women in the family repaired with mauve nail polish. By the time I knew Hazel as my great-grandma Stone, she was an old woman. She was on oxygen all the time, and she had been for decades. There was a functioning toilet in the middle of her basement, just right in the middle of the basement with no walls around it, which astonished and delighted us grandkids. With her Kentucky drawl, she would bless my little heart every time I saw her at her home in Tacoma, and she would get up with me before my parents in the morning and give me ice cream for breakfast. She died in the 1980s. She could never have imagined the world we live in now, the technology and the scale of globalization. But her memory reminds me to roll up my sleeves and press on. She reminds me that I come from sturdy people who adapt, people who bless and who know the spiritual value of delight, like ice cream for breakfast. The people on that side of my family, including the women, had big, strong hands that were rough a lot of the time. But she held this teacup. You also come from resilient ancestors. We all do. It's why we're here. The poet David White says, "To have courage is to stay close to the way that you are made. To have courage is to stay close to the way you are made." Last week, I wrote a blog post for our website in which I said that we will never cancel church. We will never cancel church. That's because our church is not made up of Sunday in-person gatherings. It's not made of buildings or potlucks. Those are expressions of our church. What church is really made of is something more like what the poet Robert Walsh calls the tensile strands of love. The tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn but always healing. Tensile means stretchy. The stretchy strands of love that extend between us, even now, which we reach out to each other when we cannot touch. What church really is promising this world our love in sickness and in health. And how does that notion take shape in your own life? How were you made? And how is that showing up right now? There's this verse in the King James translation of the Bible from Ecclesiastes. It says, "Set thy heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in time of calamity." Set thy heart aright and constantly endure, and make not haste in time of calamity. The scriptures, which are actually letters from our ancestors, the scriptures are filled with calamity and thresholds of calamity. Make not haste in times of calamity, the scriptures say, and there's wisdom here for us. I don't mean that you shouldn't work efficiently to have the supplies you need for the weeks to come or call upon your church for help. You should do those things right now. And this is a time for enduring, not panic. For steadfastness, not frantic grasping. Pause at the altar, pause at the threshold, and listen. When everyone else is unmoored, you can change a room with your presence. Curious, playful, thoughtful, compassionate, adaptive, smart, growing. Stay close to the way you were made. And trust who you are. And trust what you are. Trust that together we will see this time through. We will be here for each other. And on the other side of it, may we remember it as a very sacred time. May it be so.